I pray God will help us here. Now listen, I'm going to do something different this morning. I'm going to do a lot of reading. Would you open the precious Word of God to the book of Acts? And I want to read, really, we're going to read almost the whole chapter. Now that's a little different than what I normally do, but you know, you need to hear more of the Word of God than more than me. And I want you, as we read this passage of Scripture, to realize a couple of things. Number one, this is a true event. This is not a fable. This is completely accurate. It has not been embellished. You know, when we hear people tell stories today, we expect them to embellish the stories. Right? We even expect people to go as far as a lie to us today. But this is not a lie. The way this was recorded, listen to me, is exactly the way it happened with no errors. And I want it to come to life to us this morning as we read this passage of Scripture and ask God to help us. But I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I am going to go to chapter 13, Acts chapter 13, and we're going to look at just the first verse just to set the introduction for the message. Because I think it's important, you know, people want to preach on, you know, one verse. And by the way, there's times you can preach on a verse. You can make application of that verse. But a lot of times your false religions and your struggles and people that gets confused is when people try to teach a doctrine or a belief on not accurate to the interpretation of the Scripture. And so we want to find the setting here. What's going on in the book of Acts in chapter 13 to get us to the place where we are to bring this message? So in chapter 13, you have to understand that we understand that the Apostle Paul is called out. The church is sending him out as what we call a missionary. By the way, mission boards don't send missionaries out. Missionaries are touched and called of God through a local church in his ministry. And so we appreciate it. We've got missionaries here. They're home. They're called out of their church. Now look, I'm for mission boards. Absolutely. I thank God for BIMI. I thank God for Help Ministries. I thank God for all of them. But mission boards don't call out. It's when you and me, we're sitting in church, we're surrendering our life to the Lord, we're letting the Lord speak to our hearts, and pretty soon we start getting called. We start having this overwhelming burden to serve the Lord. And we find in this passage now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger and Lucius of Cyrene and Manion, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered, that's very important, you have to understand, I don't think a missionary is going to get called to a mission field if they ain't ministering in their church. Why would we send a missionary to a country to do something he ain't even doing here? So they were ministering in their own church. They were working and serving the Lord in their church. And the Bible said this, to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Now, let me just teach a little bit of church doctrine here just a second. You say, Pastor, why are we independent Baptists? Well, one reason is this verse right here. I want you to notice when the Apostle Paul, the Bible says the Holy Ghost separated him. He didn't have to get some permission from another church or from another organization. If God called him to go somewhere, guess what? Paul was going to follow the Lord, not what some headquarters said. That's why we believe in independent autonomous of the church. We're a self-governing body. By the way, if your son or your daughter or my son or my daughter or my granddaughter or my grandson gets called in God, I just believe that God will direct them in the way. They don't need someone placing them where they need to go. God will do that. He'll lead them. So we always want to try to have man's control over things. But when it comes to the spiritual life, we understand that God calls people. We find this. He said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work. Notice this. Whereunto I have called them. Not where you called them. Not where you, but where I called them. So we understand the setting. They're getting setting apart. They're going out. They're going to start this evangelistic work. They're going to start going all around the then known world and start preaching the gospel. And so I want you to notice in verse number 13, if you'll notice quickly and notice, you'll find out the areas they're at. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, he returned to Jerusalem. But notice this, but when they departed from Perga, and we're talking about Barnabas and Saul now, they came to Antioch in Pisidia. and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. Now, that's just like kind of here, synagogue. They went on the Sabbath day, they came in, and normally the law of God was going to be read. We're going to talk about this in a minute. And they're having a service. Just like we would have, be different, but it is a service. But I want you to notice what takes place at this service. And after the reading of the law, after the reading of the word of God, and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue, went into them saying, ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Now let me stop right there. I want to teach a pastoral tip here. Yes, that's in the Bible, and yes, he stood up and said, if there's any men here that has a word of exhortation. And I thank God he had the boldness to do that. But I'm also thankful that he had the Son of God in the building, or he had a missionary of God in the building, so he didn't have to worry too much, but now he didn't know for sure. But now let me just bring that down application into our life. You say, Pastor, why don't you give up opportunities for people just to give open word? Because I'm scared of what they'll give. And how uncomfortable would that be if somebody jumped up and gave something completely contrary to what the Word of God teaches? Then guess what my job is to do? I can't leave it open. So how embarrassing would that be? Because someone might would give a word and they mean well and they want to do well and they just want to give praise to God. But they say something could be detrimental to somebody, and then that puts me in a bad position, because you know what? We can't let it stand. Now, as kindly as I know how, I'm going to have to smooth that over. And by the way, I've had to do it before. But I want to say this question, and I just say that to help you to understand me. You say, Pastor, it's in the Bible. Yeah, it's in the Bible. I understand it. And some folks say, hey, and we do give testimony time from time to time, but that's why I always encourage you. If you give a testimony, I want you to notice what he said. It was a word of what? Exhortation. So that means if somebody's going to give a word, it ain't going to be about them. It's going to be a word of exhortation. That means it's going to be something edifying to everyone there. So when we give testimonies, we give a word, it's not a time that we get up and we talk about how bad it's been and how ugly it is and how bad we got it, because that it just discourages everybody. He said a word of exhortation. And so I want you to notice what a testimony, man. The Apostle Paul stood up. He said, if any word of exhortation for the people, he said, say on. Whew. Then Paul, and boy, when I said the man of God stood up, I can see him now, and he beckoning with his hands. He said, men of Israel and ye that fear God, he said, give audience. He said, pay close attention. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with an high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. They wandered 40 years. He's going through the history of God's people. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that, he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward they desired a king. God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king. To whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. When John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, whom think ye that I am? I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwelt at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. And all God's people said on his verse 30, but God raised him from the dead. Boy, what a sermon. What a sermon. Can you imagine the looks the Apostle Paul got that morning? And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witness unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, and that he hath raised up Jesus again. As it is also written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another Psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, he fell on sleep and was laid into his fathers and saw corruption. But he, whom God raised again, saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware therefore lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declared unto you. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles, that's us, besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, I love this, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day, y'all ready? Came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. I love this. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Heavenly Father, I pray you'll help us as we look at this wonderful passage of Scripture in your word. Thank you for revealing it to us. I pray you'll speak to our hearts today. Do what only you can do. Do heart work. In Jesus' name, amen. What is the only hope for this dying world? We live in a day, you hear a lot about, you know, I just said it a moment ago, how many of you are ready, you're prepared every day to hear bad news? How many of you every day expect to hear something bad? I do, you expect it, right? We live in a world, sin-cursed world, there's bad things going on. We hear a lot about false news to do. It's been coined fake news. I agree. There's a lot of fake news going on. But by the way, there's been fake news going on for years, not just the last four. We live in a day where, I mean, you talk to most young people today. They're wandering through life. They have no purpose. They honestly really don't know. And by the way, that's what we were talking to the young people today. You understand, understanding that the Bible is the only book that answers the three main vital questions that man really needs to be answered. Where'd we come from? Do you know the only Bible that tells us where we came from is the Bible? No other man-made written book. You can read the Communist Manifesto. Hey, you can even read the Declaration of Independence, but that document, that book, no matter how great it was, I'm not going to tell you where you came from. We understand from the Word of God we came. We were formed By the way, Jeremiah chapter 1:5 tells us that we were formed. God formed us. So we know we came from God. And then another question that has to be asked is, why are we here? That's an important question to ask, because, see, if you take the line of thinking of what our educational facilities telling us and our government's telling us now, that you came from some single cell amoeba, or you just kind of evolved in evolution, you just kind of happened, you're kind of like an animal, aren't you? I believe that's one reason why our country has become so animalistic, because, see, they don't understand we've been created by an almighty God for a purpose. The Bible tells me that I was created for His pleasure, and so the Bible teaches me that I have a purpose in this life. That's the only book that we have on this earth that's going to give us purpose, real purpose, eternal purpose for life, is the Bible. And then the last question that we all have to ask, the only the Bible answers, where are you going? Well, I'm thankful the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. No one just come up one day and say, I believe there's two places when you die and you go, you either go to heaven or hell. Where did we learn that? We learned it from the Word of God, right? So we live in a day where we're living in a day where everyone's discouraged. Everyone's understands that we're living in desperate days. Everyone understands that there's bad news on every hand. I mean, you know, wouldn't you wish that every time the phone rang, it was a good tidings of glad joy? But we don't live in that. But I want to help all of you. I want to make y'all smile a little bit this morning. I'm actually going to give y'all good news today. Well, y'all can help right there. See, y'all been conditioned, it ain't really going to be good. It's going to be fake news. No, this is good news. True news. So let's help. Let's start in the house of God. If you can't show a smile here where it's easier, I can promise you, you're not going to be able to do it at work when you got a bunch of pressure on you. So let's try here. Let's let the Word of God bring us to a place that we forget everything else, and let's rejoice this morning that we have the truth. We have good news. Now, I want to say, the gospel is the good news. It is the news that this world needs. The gospel is the news that your lost family member needs. The gospel is what that old mean maybe manager or boss that you have, and he's so ugly and mean and uncaring. If he meets Jesus, that'll change. The gospel is still the message that the world needs. What does Lookout Valley need? They need the gospel. What does Chattanooga need? They need the gospel. What does the world need? They need the gospel. Why? Because the gospel is the good news. The best news I've ever heard is that Jesus Christ, that God loved me while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. I'm thankful that there was a God in heaven that came to this earth as a robed in flesh, and He came here and was born of a virgin, and He lived a sinless life for 33 and a half years. He was wrongfully tried, wrongfully accused, wrongfully put to death. But on that third day, praise God, He raised forevermore. He is alive today. And because of that message, gives me hope. It's changed my life. And it will change others' lives. And so that's what this good news is. In a nutshell, this whole sermon that the Apostle Paul preached in this synagogue that day was about Jesus Christ. He talked about His birth. He talked about His life. He talked about His death, but praise God, He talked about His resurrection. By the way, He preached this message in a place that the Bible already tells us not everybody ever liked it. Not everybody ever liked it. By the way, I've learned this. Every time you preach the gospel, give the truth, I found this. Ain't everybody going to like it. It's not for the wimps. I mean, if you're going to stand for the truth, get ready. They just think they're the only ones. No, wait a minute. I don't think I'm the only one. But we're going to stand for the truth. In this compromising world, we need to stand for the truth. Don't change. And so we must better go ahead and realize, ain't everybody going to like it, but I'm not going to talk about the bad news today. I got to stay on the good news. But he just rehearsed history. Then he proclaimed that Jesus Christ was the one born, crucified, buried, and risen. And he told them, He's who you need. By the way, I'm going to just echo that again today. He's who you need. He's who I need. I need him. And so I say, what is the good news? I'm thankful, boy, it's the gospel. So just very simply this morning, can I give you three quick things about the gospel? Number one, the presentation of the gospel. He gave it, boy, right here, clear. Now, y'all come in September's going to be a big month. We're going to have seminar Sunday nights. And Clay's going to get to, he's going to get the projector out. And what's that stuff called? PowerPoint stuff? He's going to do PowerPoint. I mean, it's going to be like a teaching lesson right here. But it's going to be practical stuff. Why? Because I believe we ought to be equipped as the people of God to be reaching our world. And you know what? You say, oh, Pastor, I know how to lead somebody to the Lord. You know what the first seminar is giving, leading somebody to God. Some people have the desire, oh, I wish I could lead somebody to the Lord. By the way, you can. You can. Every Christian should. You say, well, what do you mean? What do you got to give? You got to give them the gospel. What's the gospel? Well, Pastor, I'm not eloquent in words. You don't have to be eloquent in words. The Word of God is what convicts people's hearts. That old message that Jesus Christ came to this earth, born of a virgin, lived for 33 and a half years, died on an old rugged cross, raised from the dead 3 days later, that's all people need to know. That's the gospel. The presentation of the gospel was very clear, and he gave it here. Now, it was a little longer in a sermon, but he basically went through the life of Jesus. He talked about, even before Jesus showed up, he said, look, we wanted a king. God gave us a king. He said there was a day we didn't have a king, so he gave judges until Samuel popped up on the scene, and he was the first prophet judge. But then you wanted a king, and so you kept hollering out to God, I want a king. So he let you have a king. And of course we know that Saul was removed as king because he disobeyed the Lord. But then the Bible said he raised up David, a man after God's own heart. And the Bible says he led him in the will of God, but it was not without mistakes. But oh, but see, the great shadow, those were just shadows. Those were just men. But listen, then it always points to that one that we need. But he said, oh, I want you to know, I'm speaking of the one that came that was greater than them. John the Baptist came and preached, and what a preacher he was, and what he did in this world. But he said, I want you to know, he's talking about the one that he can't even touch the shoes of the one that's yet to come, and that is our Savior, Jesus Christ. I want you to know the presentation of the gospel is clear. You say, Pastor, what does my rebellious grandchild need? I'm going to tell you what they need. They need Jesus. You say, Pastor, what does that unruly co-worker that I work with, what does he need? I'm going to tell you what he needs. He needs Jesus. He needs Jesus. Listen to me, church. This world needs Jesus. They don't want him and they don't think they need him, but we know they need him, and God can work in their heart for them to desire to have him. So we see in this passage the very clear presentation of the gospel in this passage. And I want you to notice he didn't mince words. I want you to notice in verse number 38, be it known unto you. Clear. He said, listen, all you out there, give ear. He said, give heed, listen to me now. He said, listen, he even used his hands. The Bible said he stood up to give this word, and he used his hands. He was talking with his hands because he wanted those people who was in that synagogue. Many of them were lost. You know why? They were trusting religion. And he said, you've missed the one that's given you salvation. You've crucified him. You've missed him. And I'm afraid we live in a day where people are missing Jesus. They're trying to get to heaven some other way. They're trying to get baptized. They're trying to live a moral life. They're trying to obey the Ten Commandments. They're trying to do everything they can. But listen to me, all of that is of naught. We must know Jesus Christ as our Savior. So we see the presentation is clear. It's clear. Be it known unto you. This man. This man. Listen here. Jesus Christ is not a fable. Jesus Christ was a man. I want you to know he was the God-man. And he was very clear. He said, this man, be it known unto you, this man. The gospel is what? This man. Jesus Christ. Anytime you get stuck worrying about your words and how do you talk to somebody about spiritual things, then let me just help you. Just get to him quick. Just run to Jesus. Start telling him about Jesus, what he's done for you. See, everybody here can witness. Everybody here can talk. I bet you, everybody here, how many of you out here, how many of you ladies, y'all like to shop? Would you raise your hand? You like to shop? Okay, well, I guarantee you one thing. You have no problem telling other people how to do it. Come on now, y'all help me. How many of y'all have a hobby? How many of you have a hobby? Some of y'all like tinkering on cars. How many of y'all like tinkering on cars? Would you raise your hand, tinker on cars? God help me, I wish some of y'all would help me with that. How many of y'all like to build stuff? You like to build stuff? You raise your hand? Yeah, my hand's down. Can't build it. My wife builds everything at the house. How many of you like to cut grass? I hate cutting grass. You like cutting grass? All right. Well, some of you ain't raising your hand for nothing. How many of you are alive this morning? How many of you like something? You get excited when you talk about it. I could say, hey, how many of you hunt? And hey, there'd be a couple of us raise our hand. I don't have to be around Brother Gilly very long. He knows what he's talking about. And he said, hey, you know, how many of y'all like to fish? You know, I've never. How many of you, oh, here's one, we're in the South. How many of y'all like football? How many of you have a team? All right, everybody's got a team. And you know what, and some of us talk too much about them, but let me just say this. I've never heard someone that's a Tennessee fan that don't know a little bit about Tennessee ball. Somebody help me. And I don't know anybody that likes West Virginia ball that don't know a little bit about West Virginia ball. And I don't know anybody that likes a little bit about Alabama football that can't tell you their roster and their coaches. It's awful funny. Those same people that can talk about all that stuff, awful funny, all of a sudden they get awful clammed up. They can't talk about Jesus. I mean, if I can be around you in 5 minutes and I can tell whether you're a hunter or you're a fisherman or you like baseball or you like football and I can't tell that you're a Christian. I mean, God, help us. Jesus is what people need. I think sometimes we live in a society where we think we're doing such a great work to help these kids. And by the way, I'm for all of it. But I think sometimes we've gotten so involved in thinking we're going to make these. I get worried and it burns me when I see people get these children involved in so many things and like, we're going to make them a better athlete. We're going to make them a better citizen for which just to die and go to hell. And that's where we live. Like, well, we can give them this. We can give them fun for a little while. We need to give them Jesus. I get put out. I'm going to be honest. I can't imagine any Christian in any place of leadership, a job, influence that don't have that desire when they really look at the end of life and realize we're not going to be here forever. We're only here for a short time and we get so involved in all this temporary stuff and we sell out to it, Brother Don. And I like these Christians that understand that God gives them places of position and influence, not just so they can be big in the community. God, help us. I'm glad this preacher didn't get up on the synagogue this day and say to all of them, say, hey, I want y'all to know I'm creating this thing in the community and we're going to get a bunch of people involved. He didn't say that. You know what he did? He got up and he told them what they needed. And by the way, the same application is today. These little children that come in on our buses, the little children that you bring in here, we have a young man that's visiting for the first time today. And I'm glad in Sunday school he's already heard about Jesus. Kids can get entertained anywhere, and they do. They don't need entertained to death. They need Jesus. They need him presented. They need him talked about. They need him. They need to be explained how wonderful he is. They need to learn how to grow in him. They need to learn. They need to know that he came to this earth and he bled and died and he died and he raised from the dead for them. You know what? That message changed my life. How many of you that changed your life? We had a young man last week came forward after the service and he trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. I want to say to that young man, you need to stay in church so you can keep growing. Can I say the presentation of the gospel, he made it clear. By the way, the message is clear. Wasn't a fable, wasn't some other man. He said, this is Jesus. That's who you need. Give me the application. Here's the application. If you're saved, aren't you glad? Boy, I'm going to tell you right now, I am glad that somebody shared that with me. I thank God I was raised in a home where my mom and dad brought me up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, and I'm grateful to them this morning, and I want to just say praise God that I was introduced to Jesus as a child. But I want to say the application, if you're here today and you're lost, you're missing him. Listen to me. If you're here this morning and you do not have Jesus Christ, you're missing the way. Don't leave the building without meeting him. It's clarity. It's clear. It's clear. This man. He stood up for this group and said, this man. Be it known unto you, this man is who you need. Then I want you to notice the presentation of the gospel. Look at the power of the gospel. Look at verse 42. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath day. That's amazing to me. You know what? The power of the gospel creates things. You know what it creates? It creates hunger. Sometimes I'm always trying to lead people to water. We're always trying to lead people to water. But I've learned this, and boy, I get emotional about it because I realize it's out of my hands. It's out of my hands. And I want everybody to understand this. We ought to do our best. Everybody here ought to know they're loved, and if someone gets out, we ought to do all we can. But listen to me. I'm going to tell you who runs and chases them down. God does. There are some things we cannot do. It's only God's work. God does it. And I'm going to tell you what the power of, you know what the power of the gospel does? It creates a hunger. Creates hunger. It made a hunger. These people said, well, wait a minute, boy, that we never heard anything like that. Here's what it is. We want you to come back. You know what the gospel does? It creates you to want more. It's amazing. I had no desire to do this 30 years ago. By the way, I'm in a church full of people today. This church building is full of a bunch of people. If the truth's known, you had no desire to be here sometime back. What happened? Power of the gospel creates a hunger inside of you. You can't stay. You just can't get away from him. You know, I know a lot of preachers. There have been times I've never wrote out a written resignation ever. Never done it. I've never even contemplated it. But I have to tell you, I've made in jest. I don't know how much of jest has been. I'll tell you, I'm about ready to quit. I'm gonna go get me a job on a railroad. Praise God. And that would be horrible because. Y'all know how much railroaders work. But I'm going to tell you something. You say, well, Pastor, what keeps you in? It's burning in my bones. I mean, I got a hunger in my heart. And I know some people look at me, oh, he's a fanatic. He's crazy. He's always trying to figure out a way. Well, shouldn't we? I mean, I've really gotten a glimpse to realize this world's temporary. And we get our roots so deep here. And we're like, oh, this is bad. And you know what? Good people, good Christian people get blinded by the temporary. God help your pastor not to get blinded by the temporary. I know I might be weird and I might not agree with everything, but I want you to know something. Keep my eyes for eternity's values in view. Because that's where we're heading. Every one of us one day will no longer be here. We will be gone, and we will either be in heaven or we will be in hell. And I want you to know something. That's more important than where you spend vacation next year. I like a good vacation. Praise God. Thanks to the best church in the world. We're going next week. Y'all pray for me. I'm going to come back. I'm going to have some cholesterol problems. I'm going to eat more lobster than you could imagine could be eaten. Hey, but I want you to know something. I'm for a good old, but listen now, let's keep it right. Let's keep everything with eternity. Why? Because the power of the gospel, it creates. Y'all know what I'm talking about. How many of y'all, maybe 20 years ago, you had no desire to be in church? What happened? You heard the gospel. The gospel creates a hunger. And so I say to you, it creates a hunger. And listen to me, there's people that are hungering today. For something real. This world is filled with those who are hungry. They're seeking for something of hope, and they're going through all these pig pens, and they're going through all this slop that the world offers. It's slop. They're in slop. They think they're eating it up, and this world's giving them temporary success and giving them all these things that brings them joy and happiness for a time. And people are going from one field to another, and they've left a hog pen after that was a green field. You know what I'm talking about. The world will chew you up and spit you out. There's young people all over. They've tried everything that this world has to offer them, and they're still hopeless. You know what I'm talking about. Some of you young people, you need to be careful the friends you have. Because I want to say this, and I know I shouldn't say this, but can I help everybody here just a second? Have you ever seen anyone that is away from the will of God that's ever happy? This movement that's going on that I think is the greatest threat to our faith, and I'm being honest, we love them. I love anyone that is in the LGBTQ community. We should love them. God died for them. But you show me one that's happy, you won't find one. Why? I'll tell you why. Because they have left the greatest purpose of their life out, and that's Jesus. The power of the gospel, it creates a hunger. They created hunger and said, hey, come back. Now, you know something's going on when somebody says, hey, preacher, will you preach that again? They said, Paul, will you come back? So we see that it developed hunger, but we live in a world that's filled with those who are hungry and they're seeking for something. Listen, we have him. Quickly. It develops humility. Look at verse 42. The Bible says this, and when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought them these words might be preaching in them. Here's the humility here. Not all rejected him. Many believed that what he said was needful for them and necessary, and they really believed that it was critical, and they understood. And I want you to notice the last wording there. And the Bible says they persuaded them. Look at verse 43. They persuaded them. Now listen, here's my application to the church. Get behind the work of the church. Look at me. Eyeball to eyeball, get behind the work of the church. You say, Pastor, why? Why should we get behind? God has placed us here to reach this world. God has placed us here to reach Lookout Valley, and we've not reached them all. God has placed us here to spread good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen to me, church members, don't be critical. Don't be a pessimist. Listen to me. Don't be complacent. Do what these folks said. You know what they said to their preacher? What they said to that preacher that day? They said, Paul, preacher, stay at it. We want to encourage you. Keep doing it because what you're doing is making a difference. Stay after, behind the work of God. Quit being a pessimist. Quit being critical. Quit talking about the negative things. If that's all we have to talk about, then fine. But I know there's a whole lot more things we can focus on. Yes, we know that not everything's here right. And you know what? By the way, as long as I'm here and as long as you're here, this church will never be right. Because we're all sinners. Somebody say amen. But I want you to know we have a perfect work, and the work is Jesus Christ. And so I say to all of you, get behind the work of the church. God has placed us here to give the message to people that need it. Can I say it gives hope? I love this, and I'm going to close. Look at verse 44. The gospel gives hope. And the next Sabbath day, I love this, Brother Larry. Been better now. If that had been an independent Baptist right now, I said the whole city. Y'all with me? Y'all with me? Y'all reading it? But see, this is true. See, if an independent Baptist, Brother Market, we just said, man, we'd have padded them numbers. The whole city come out. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. But I'll tell y'all right now, what's the Bible say there? And almost, how's that worded? Almost the whole city. So, you know, I just take that. Probably just two stayed home. How's much is almost? Don't matter, but here's what, y'all know what encourages me. It worked. And can I help y'all here? Y'all say, well, Pastor, we ain't got the biggest church in town. Well, if God wants us to have us the biggest church in town, we'll have it. But y'all probably going to have to get you another pastor. Because God knows what every man can handle. But I'll tell you right now, I'm going to tell you what we're going to have fun trying. Hallelujah. But I want to say this. Here's what encouraged me, Miss Kimberly. If in that word of God and that true story happened, he got up and preached like that, and I mean, because he preached, he didn't get up, Miss Abby, he didn't sugarcoat it. He was in a rough crowd, Brother Larry. He got up, he said, let me tell y'all something. He went through the whole history. So they really knew right off the front, they weren't dealing with a little private there. They knew he knew his stuff when he went through the whole history of Israel. They listened. They said, well, we got more than a little old private in front of us. We might have a brigadier general in front of us. They started to listen. And when they started listening, I'm going to tell you right now, some of them leaders that was trying to keep them people in error for their own personal gain, they started getting mad. So not every look that came back to that pulpit was a happy one. By the way, don't preach if you don't want that to happen. I'd have quit a long time ago if everybody in the service didn't like my messages. But I'm getting to the good part. If he could preach like that, he preached the truth, he gave the gospel, and almost the whole city showed up at Antioch, that I just happened to believe it could happen in Tiftonia. And I'm going to tell you right now, that's what keeps me going, because the hope of that happening is what keeps us going. And I want y'all to know, and as we close, not everybody that you tell the truth to is going to listen. How many times somebody told you they're going to come to church and you don't see them? You know, many times when you invite somebody to church, they tell you they'll come. You know what they're doing? They're just wanting you to get out of their face. I'm going to quit giving it. I'm going to quit telling people. I'm going to quit. You know, and I hope nobody in here plays the lottery. But I mean, that would throw the whole lottery system into complete chaos, because it's funny though how people say, well, you know, they'll spend hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and thousands of dollars on lottery and never get picked, but they never stop. It's awful funny. Christians say, well, they just don't come anymore, so I quit asking. Well, that's like me, Brother Gilly. You know, I go fishing from time to time, and it's very rare, but there are days that I'll go, I'll cast, nothing hits. But you know what? It's never made me want to stop. Amen. I just try harder. Amen. And by the way, we're supposed to be fishers of men, and so every time you throw your hook out there, every time you throw the lure out there, it don't always get hung. But if you keep throwing it, you keep giving it, I promise you this, you'll hook one. And that's the exciting part that keeps us doing it. That's why you ought to have a pocket full of tracts. That's why you ought to have, when you send out your bills, you ought to put them in your bills. That's why when you, by the way, in September, we're going to be handing out, we're going to put a big push in September. We're going to have these brochures. We're getting them made up now. They're really nice. Here's the theme. It's come grow with us. And I'm going to challenge the whole church to absolutely, we're going to give every one of those things out in the month of September, and we're going to put door hangers out. We're going to put the whole thing out in the whole September. You say, well, Pastor, what are we going to do all that? I'm going to tell you why, because this verse has even encouraged me more. Maybe just almost the whole city might come out. And the hope that keeps me going is, hey, some won't, but I tell you what, some will, and I'm after the some. Let's stand to our feet.